Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Once upon a time, a man, after coming out of the grocery store with his cart full, notices off in the corner there's somebody with a sign. The sign said that he needed help, and he thought, oh, man. So he's wondering if he can take a way around that. He wanted to avoid interacting with the guy. So he gets to his cars unloading the groceries, and then he feels convicted, like, man, I should go back and see if the guy needs something. Like I'm a Christian, I'm getting ready for the Sabbath, like I should do something. So he goes back around and he walks up to the guy who looked like a homeless person, and he simply asks the question, do you need any help? The homeless person looked back up at him and said, don't we all? The man wasn't ready for that response, and it kept him thinking, don't we all? Would you be willing to admit today that you need help? Part of our talk today, the title is, Don't We All, as we think about what it means to get help. First point for today is we all need help. If you agree, say yes.
Yes.
We all need help. If you've ever needed help, you know what it feels like to get help. I like the quote that says, no one of us is as good as all of us. And the idea is that we all are better when we get help. We're all at our best when we're asking for help and when we're getting help. I like the quote John Maxwell says about no one has ever achieved anything great by themselves. And he uses some examples. I like the idea. You know, recognize this character? Yeah, Michael Jordan. Many would argue the best basketball player of all time for the NBA. Does Michael Jordan need help to win a basketball game? He has a team, right? He's one player of five. By himself, he couldn't win. And then I got a little more curious because what else does Michael Jordan have? Did you know that Michael Jordan has a coach? Coach is helping him get better. He also has a personal trainer. I was intrigued by reading his biography once that a guy came up to him and said, I could be your personal trainer and I'll help you get better at basketball. And Michael Jordan's like, who are you to tell me how to? And he said, you're too small for the game. I need to beef you up, but I'm going to teach you how to keep your shot accurate with the added weight that we're going to give you so you don't get pushed around so much in the box. I've been watching your game for years. What do you think Michael Jordan said? You're hired. Let's do it. Like, he needed people to be great. All of us need help. Another person you might not be as familiar with is Amelia Earhart. She was the first woman to fly across the Atlantic solo in a plane. Now, what does solo mean? By herself. But was she really by herself? And I don't mean in a spiritual sense, was God with her? I don't know if she was Christian or not, but she was in a plane that somebody built, right? And I would say some many people had to help build that plane. She had a mechanic who had to make sure the plane was running at optimal performance. She had a ground crew that was talking to the land crew in Europe while they were leaving in the other side of the ocean, talking to her through the radio. No one's really ever achieved anything great by themselves. So why not be more prone to asking for help? I like this idea. If you ever want to get someone to help you, ask them for a favor. Have you ever tried that? Can I just ask you a favor? I remember when I was a young person in academy, I was starting 10th grade and there was a desk that I wanted in the basement and I wanted it up in my room in the dorm on the second floor. So you had to go through all these stairs, and as I'm struggling with this desk, moving it up, a young freshman walked in, curly hair, young-looking guy. He said, do you need any help? And I said, yes, I would love some help. That day, we became friends, and we're still friends to this day, all because of asking a favor. So maybe the easiest way, if you're looking for new friends, is to say, could you do me a favor? Could you help me? Could you be a part of this with me? Sometimes it takes courage to ask for help. Would you agree? Why is that? I think because there's something built in us that says, I should be able to do it I don't need any. And we've tricked ourselves into thinking that too often, where the whole point of this first section is we all need help. There's a verse I'd like to share with you. This comes from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes talks about two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. It continues, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Have you ever been in a spot where you fell and there was no one to help you? How much better it is, and how true are the words of the wisest man who ever lived, that we all need help. The second point I'd like to share with you this morning is God can help us. We're not alone. God can help us. When I think about that, it blows my mind to think God, who created the universe, God who's in charge of everything, can also help us. You've heard of ChatGPT? A lot of people are going to ChatGPT to get what? Help. I'm working on a term paper about Albert Einstein and his influence on physics. ChatGPT, can you help me? Or I'm a mom and I'm struggling with how do I discipline my 5-year-old in a way that's positive? ChatGPT, can you help? But guess who was there before ChatGPT? ChatGOD. And people have been going to ChatGOD for years. And the good news is you don't need a computer. You don't need a smartphone. There's no monthly service plan. God makes himself available to us through ChatGOD. You can talk to him anytime. He's there to come through for you when you're struggling in a relationship. He's there to come through for you when you're facing a test that you're not sure how you're going to do. He's there when a friendship has gone wrong and you need to know, how do I restore that friendship? That is a beautiful thing about how God can help us. Have you ever been afraid at night if you're a young person? Have you ever literally been afraid that even if you spoke, things or something would hear your voice and know that you're there, so you better not say anything, but you want to call for mom and dad, but you're not sure if you should? For adults, we also get afraid. We have different questions. What if I speak up? What if I stay silent? What if I make a ripple? What if I don't make a ripple? What if my life doesn't matter or count for anything? What if nobody notices if I don't show up at work tomorrow? We've got all our own things. But we all need to remember, and this is the reminder, that God wants to help us. God wants to help us with life. I love these Bible examples. Follow them with me. A guy named Moses in the Old Testament was someone who was asked by God to go and lead a whole nation that was in slavery, out of slavery, and to be independent, to be free again. So God sends Moses. And in that process, instead of Moses accepting this challenge and invitation from God and saying, let's go do it, he brings excuses. Well, God, I'm not good at talking. Okay, I got you. I'll send Aaron with you. We'll take care of that, and I'll help you. We'll get you through this. Another Bible character, Esther. Have you ever had the weight of a nation on your back? Have you ever known that if you didn't go speak up, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people would die because your people were being threatened with extinction? That's what Esther was facing. So Esther said, God, I need your help. God, I need your help. You need to show up for me. Now, I've had problems in my life. I'm sure you have too, but never one like this guy. I have never been stuck inside a fish, right? I've never been swallowed by a big fish and been inside his belly and thought, what do I do now? How am I going to get out of this one? What does Jonah do? He turns to the one who he knows can help him. Who's that? God. And he says, God, I need your help. Here's a guy, Elijah, has ups and downs. Has your life ever had ups and downs? Has your life sometimes felt like a roller coaster of ups and downs, where you're confident God's with you, you're confident that he can help you, and you can stand on Mount Carmel and call fire down from heaven and be the only one who's speaking for God, and you're okay with that? But then a few hours later, you're stuck in a cave wondering if you're the only one. You're wondering if God really is going to come through like he said he was, and now you're not sure, and so you're having these thoughts about what my life is going to be like, and should I just say, God, take my life now, because I don't even know what it's going to be. The next character is a Samaritan woman. This woman had some challenges. Marries a guy, gets divorced. Marries another guy, gets divorced. Five marriages, five failed marriages. And now she's living with a guy she's not even married to. And who does she see when she goes out at noon, hiding from all the other women who talk about her? In the heat of the day, she meets Jesus. And she finds that Jesus can help her. Jesus knows all about her, and it doesn't change his thoughts or feelings towards her. He still loves her. She's so excited to meet him, she runs back into town to tell everybody, "You got to come meet this guy who just helped me. His name is Jesus." God can help us. I like the psalmist. Psalm 121 says, "I lift up my eyes into the mountains, to the hills." Where does my help come from? Maybe today you're asking, where does my help come from? How do I get help? How can I get help in the situation, the circumstance, the problems that I'm facing, the challenges I'm going through? Psalmist would answer, my help comes from the Lord. Is that your answer today? When you're facing those circumstances, do you say, my help comes from the Lord? And he says, he's the maker of heaven and earth. Earlier in Psalms, now in chapter 46, this is what the psalmist will write. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The good news is you don't have to face your problems all alone. You don't have to wonder, where does my help come from? Your help, my help, comes from God. Another verse from Isaiah says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Anybody comforted to know that God is your help this morning? I love this story of a little boy in a sandbox. His dad made him a sandbox and got him his little trucks. And is there a little kid here who would make a sound of a truck? Anybody got a good sound of a truck voice for me? A little kid? I hear a rumble, a little louder. Okay, maybe no sound of a truck. Imagine a sound of a truck then, all right? So a truck's playing in the sand, and he's digging, and he's making roads. And as he digs, he finds out that there's an imposter in his sandbox because he hits something hard, and he's like, "What is this thing?" And he digs with his little hands and finds there's a big rock. And as he digs more around the rock, he's like, "This is a really big rock." And he gets to the place where he's like, "Man, I got to move this rock because I'm trying to build tunnels and this is in the middle of my highway." So he gets his little hands and he bends over and he grabs the rock as best he can and he learned from his dad that if he grunts, things get easier. So he starts just grunting and it doesn't work. So he tries again, and then he says, "Okay, I've seen my dad do this too. He uses his legs. Legs are bigger muscles than my arms." So he sits down in the sandbox and he's like, "Oh, grunt, grunt, and all he does is pushes himself back in the sand, and he's frustrated. What he doesn't know is dad's been watching him. So dad comes walking out into the backyard. "Hey, son."
"Hey, dad.
How's it going?"
"Okay."
Sometimes parents can ask some weird questions, right? So he looks at his son and he says, "What's the problem?"
"There's a rock."
"Okay. Well, have you used all your strength?" The little guy's like, "What do you mean? Like, my arms hurt, my legs hurt. I've tried everything I have." And the dad said, "No, I've asked you, have you used all of your strength?" The little boy's looking at dad like, "What planet are you from? Like, I don't know what you're asking me." So dad steps into the sandbox, bends over, bends his legs, lifts, picks up the rock, and the boy's like, "Oh." He throws the rock outside of the sandbox. And the dad says, "Now you've used all your strength because you had me help you. I don't know what rock is in your road right now. I don't know what rock is troubling you, but I invite you to talk to Jesus about that rock. Because Jesus wants to help you. God wants to help you. He wants to help us move rocks." And here's a little thing I've learned, that sometimes God doesn't move rocks just because we ask him to. Sometimes those rocks stay because staying is more important than removing. And you got to wrestle with that with God. But the idea is that God helps us. First thing, we all need help. Second thing, God can help us. The third point I'd like us to go to is we can help each other. We can help each other. Have you noticed that we're made to work with each other, to help each other? When God made Adam, there was something missing. He needed to make When God showed Adam all of the animals, he showed them male and female, and Adam finally, after a while, gets the pattern. Okay, where's my partner? God's created homes and families so that families and homes are at their best when everyone's working together, when we're all helping each other, when there are kids doing chores around the house, when mom and dad are doing things around the house. That's when homes work their best, when everybody's working together. Schools work their best when teachers and students and principals all work together. Adventure clubs work their best when the parents and the staff are all working together with the church and they're all on the same page. Everything works better when we're helping each other. There are some Bible examples for this too. When you look at the Old Testament again with Ruth and Naomi. Ruth, if you remember, her husband dies. That was the son of Naomi. And Ruth is given a chance by Naomi. Here's your free pass. Go find a new husband. Live your own life. Do your own thing. And what does Ruth say? Nope, I'm going to stay and help you, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And Ruth makes up her mind that she's going to help Naomi. Was that a help? Absolutely. And if you read the whole story, you'll see it. Here's another story of people helping each other. Remember the guy who's paralyzed? And the friends tell him one day, hey, we've heard about this guy, Jesus. He could heal you. He could make your legs better. You could walk and run again. We're going to take you to him. And imagine how excited he is as he's like, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to run again. And then they get there and there's a crowd. And there's people, more people than they imagine. And it's like, how are we going to get in? Like, we can't. Like, there are too many people. Imagine when his friend's like, we got this. And they go up the steps on the back side of the house and they get to the roof that's made of thatch and mud and palm leaves maybe. And they start digging through and they start pulling it apart. And they've got a rope because they're going to lower him down. And they've made up their mind. Nothing's going to stop them from getting their friend the help that he needs. Are you that kind of friend that wants your friends to get to Jesus? Are you that kind of friend that won't stop at anything so your friends can enjoy that connection with God? Another person is Esther. We talked a little bit before about how she turned to God, but in this part of the story, she actually turns to the whole nation of the Jews. She tells all the Jews in Susa, she said, you've got to pray. In fact, she adds, you've got to fast, and we've got to pray. That means we don't eat, not just for one day, for 2 days, but for 3 days. Like, fast and pray, because we need each other, and if God doesn't show up and do something miraculous, we're all going to die. The stakes were high. And Moses, we talked about him. We come back to him again this time just to say, Moses needed help from Aaron. He needed his brother by his side. In fact, there are places also where he depends on Miriam, his sister. So what does this all mean? It means we can help each other. And I like this verse. It says in Hebrews 13:16, do not forget to do good and share with others. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. God wants us to help each other. In fact, the church, when it was just starting in the book of Acts chapter 2, you'll see this, that the early church had the church working together. And as scripture says, it said they kept everything in common. And if someone needed something, someone who had something sold it. So those who had it and those who didn't, it didn't matter because everybody had it because they wanted to help each other. Things work best when we help each other. Summary of where we've been so far is this: we all need help. God can help us, and we can help each other. And I'd like us to turn a corner now to say, let's look at some ways to apply these things. The first application I'd like you to think about is to do the thing. To do the thing. Ecclesiastes 9:10 will say, whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Let me see your hand. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. I like what one guy said. He said, if somebody's in trouble, they just found out that somebody's in the hospital, somebody died in their family, what's one thing that sometimes we do as adults? One thing we might do is, I'm so sorry to hear about this. If you need help with anything, just let me know. The guy asked the question, has anybody ever let you know that they needed help? He said, has anybody ever answered you? Yeah, on Tuesday, could you pick up my dog? Or on Thursday, could you mow my lawn for me? He's like, sometimes we say that if there's anything you need, just let me know as a way to appease our own guilt, as a way to say, well, I offered. But he said, don't do that. Do the thing. Do the thing. If God puts it on your heart to start a food chain, start the food chain. If God puts it on your heart to go online and send groceries to their door from Publix, Do the thing. Send him groceries. If God puts it on your heart to go buy him a gift card, do the thing. Buy him a gift card. Get it to him. I like this because if we're going to help others, one of the things that we need to think about is I need to do the thing. And whatever my hand finds to do, do it. The second application I'd like us to think about is ask God to help you see the opportunities to help. Are there opportunities all around us to help? Sometimes do we say, God, give me opportunities, and then we see them and we ignore them? We see it, but, oh, really, God? Not now. Like, this isn't convenient. Like, this isn't a good time. Could you give me an opportunity tomorrow? Maybe I'll have more time then. We need to just say, God, open my eyes, and that's what the psalmist wrote in Psalms 119, 18, open my eyes. What if God would open our eyes to see the opportunities that he's putting in our path? The third thing I'd like us to think about as an application is look for a special way to help someone more closely. This is where instead of just saying I'm going to help someone, it's more like I'm going to invest in someone. I want to be in a mentoring relationship, or as Christians sometimes would say, a discipling relationship. I want to come close enough to somebody so that they know who I am. That's how Paul will describe it in 1 Thessalonians. He'll say, I even shared my life with you. Like, I didn't just share teachings or truth. I actually shared my life with you. Who are those people that you could invest in? Jesus did this very clearly. He had his 120 that he'd send out on missions, his 70 that he'd send out in missions, but he also had 12 that were his closer disciples. Of the 12, he also had 3 that were even closer. Come up with me to the Mount of Transfiguration. Come with me to the Garden of Gethsemane. And one disciple self-proclaims himself to be the most important one. John will say, I'm the one that Jesus loves. I'm the one that's the most intimate with Jesus. And Jesus invested in John. Jesus invested in his disciples and helped them. Paul with Timothy, we just talked a little bit about. Paul said, I've come so close to Timothy that he knows when I go to sleep. He knows what I eat. He knows my habits. He knows everything about me because I want him to follow Jesus just like I do. I want him to get it and know what it looks like to follow Jesus. Moses had Joshua come after him. Moses was the one who came after, or Moses instructed Joshua, and I like the pattern that he went through. To start off, Moses said, Joshua, you just watch what I do. Just watch. And then it was, okay, Joshua, now come do it with me. We're going to do it together. And then it was, okay, Joshua, you take lead, and I'm going to watch and cheer you on. And that's a great pattern for this mentoring, a great pattern for us to get into to help people grow in their relationship. Another thing that scriptures will talk about in Titus is, notice this last part, that they would, older women would urge the younger women to love their husbands and children. Anybody in here today been married for more than 30 years, 20 years? Yeah, do you think you might know a few things about marriage after 20 or 30 years? And do you think a couple that might have been married for 2 or 3 years could maybe learn something from you that's been married for 20 or 30 years? This is what it's talking about. It's saying invest in that younger generation. Invest in those that are younger so that they can learn from you and know what it looks like to mentor someone. For me, I've had a lot of people in my life that have been important. It started when I was younger. Didn't have adventures back then. But Pathfinders was something I got involved in. And my Pathfinder director took me aside and said, Pedro, let's help you learn these skills and do these things. And what a blessing that was. I had a senior pastor in my first assignment as a pastor when I was younger, and he helped me see what ministry was like, and his heart for ministry was such a blessing to me. I've had people who have been my bosses who have opened doors for me. Some of those bosses have opened doors to other people. I've had a coach that one of my bosses introduced me to, and for the last 7 years, I get to spend time with the coach every month talking about life and what my life looks like, what's challenging me, people who have invested in me. So part of the series is remember those who have invested in you. Remember those who have mentored you because they've helped you, right? And then the challenge is how can God use me to help other people? As we start to wrap up, I want to talk about this. Who will God or who has God already put in your path that you could help, that you could mentor? Is there someone that you could come alongside and help them grow and learn what it means to follow Jesus? Ask yourself that. Who can identify this object for me? I heard crowbar. Tire iron. Yeah, that was an edit. That was good. So last week I had a flat tire. And I went to look for this. And do you think it was in the vehicle? Nope. I went to look for the jack. Do you think that was in the vehicle? Nope. And so I was like, I need help. So instead of saying, let me call somebody, well, it's kind of late and I'll be doing stuff, let me just call an Uber. So I call an Uber. I'm like, let me go get my jack, let me go get my tire iron, let me go get everything that I need to go fix this problem because I've got to fix my flat tire. I get the Uber, I go get the stuff, I come back, and guess what? I realize this tire iron doesn't fit the lug nuts on my vehicle. So now I've got to go over to AutoZone to look for the right lug nut wrench. And then I get back and I'm like, okay, let me lower the spare tire, which is tucked up underneath the truck. Well, for that, I needed another tool, which I didn't know about. And then I start to loosen the lug nuts, and then I'm like, okay, got to get them loose before I lift the truck, otherwise the tire will spin. And then I go to get the jack out, and I jack, and I crank, and it goes up. I keep cranking, but the truck's not lifting. So after about an hour and a half, 2 hours, I said, you know what? I need help. I'm going to need more help than what I can do. But why did it take me so long to figure that out? Have you ever been like that? I'm just going to fix it myself. I'm just going to take care of it. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to figure it out. I don't need anybody. And guess what I thought of when all that was happening? This sermon. And I thought, how often, Pedro, do you need to be reminded of these same things? We all need help. God can help us, right? And we can help each other. May God help us as we look to Him, to put other people in our path that we can bless, to thank Him for the people that have been in our path to bless us. And may we all look for ways to let God be more and more involved in our life.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.